Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about revival today. What is revival? We're referring to the events that have been taking place over the past 10 to 12 days in Wilmore, Kentucky, at Asbury College, Asbury University, where the student body's been engaged in singing, praying, and confessing of sins for some time now. And we're asking the question, what is revival? And we're going to talk about that in just a moment from the standpoint of a elongated definition, which I would call a biblical definition of revival. But I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Youngblood. And I'm sorry, but I've just found out about the revival this morning on your show, and I don't have anything to add to that, but I want to remind you that when this war broke out in Ukraine, you said, I believe this is the beginning of World War III. Well, that's a pretty bold statement, but now this week, China has said they're going to start supplying munitions and arms to Russia. Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Youngblood, China is a very modern, large nation with a lot of resources. Russia's a large nation with a lot of resources. And when I look at the U.S., Canada, our neighbor to the north, is large, but you can't shoot plywood at an enemy. They have a lot of plywood. But aren't most of our NATO allies are small countries like Poland or even Great Britain? They just don't have the resources or the manufacturing to come to our aid. And also, they're not really bound together. Is this China and Russia are going to bind together and just wear down NATO, just grind us into the ground? Because we're definitely weakened. We make, I guess, a lot of nice rainbow flags for LGBTQ, and we've got a great doctors network to do transgender. But it seems like that our manufacturing, as most of it, has gone to China. And even though we make great fighter planes, we don't make very many of them. They were supposed to make 750 F-22s. They only made like 143. Is this the beginning of, well, you stated that. Now, do you agree, you still stand by that, that this is going to be a war of attrition?
Absolutely. There's no question about it. We're watching the players, the major players that's found in the biblical text in relationship to the final battle that will be the conflagration around the world, starting out with the Ezekiel 38 and 39, what is called the war with Russia. Well, Russia will join together with 5 allied nations by the way, most of which will be either full Islamic or the armies controlled by Islam, and will come against Israel, and it will proliferate around the globe. We're watching it. I said over a year ago that we watched the fuse being lit for the ultimate World War III. China is coming into the fray now. China is wanting to dominate the globe and is almost successful in doing so. Today, if China cuts off our medical supplies, today, if China cuts off the minerals that makes the lithium batteries, there'd be no such thing as electric vehicles in America. Today, China controls just about all of the productivity and the export of materials that's used around the world. And China is now flexing the muscle. By the way, it's not just now taking place. China and Russia have been in league now for some time. China basically holding the hands of Russia and supplying Russia, Russia holding the hands of supplying China. They're both partners in crime, if you please, of coming against the West. That is the ultimate goal, the ultimate game plan, the ultimate war plan. And we're watching that unfolding before our eyes. And yet at the same time, Biden going there and promising another $100 million in weaponry and war material for Ukraine. And it's simply a proxy war where we're right now, right at this moment, America is in battle and a war with Russia and China, and the proxy being in Ukraine, which is the ground in which it's taking place on. So that's not said in a negative sense. That's said in the realization, the recognition that the eschatological prophetic truth of the Word of God is leaping off the pages and coming to fruition. In Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 5, it talks about, in verse 6 and 7 in particular, wars and rumblings of wars. And we see that taking place today. It talks about earthquakes and taking place. We're seeing that happening even as we speak today with another earthquake, 7.8, and then a 6.3, and all of the aftershocks in nation that is touching on Israel and Syria and coming out of that major devastation today, that we're seeing the hand of God.
Yes. Dr. Youngblood, as you're aware, our Secretary of State is meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu, and because Israel said they can't allow Iran to get a bomb. So it just me, in my humble opinion, it brings out the scripture, wars and rumors of wars. Absolutely.
Well, Biden is the causative factor of Iran having a nuclear weapon. I believe they've had it for a couple of years, if not more, and it's just not coming to light. But it is Israel that says we're not going to allow it to take place. And Israel, when they try to clean the clock of Iran, is when Russia full force comes against Israel and China in hand in glove with Russia in doing so. We're watching the hand of God. And so going back to the subject, thinking about revival, it's the greatest need in America today is revival. And when you look at the Nehemiah text that I've been preaching through on Sunday mornings, Nehemiah text in the 9th, 10th, and 11th chapter, Ezra finds the book of the law, it's called. I refer to it just the Bible. He finds the Bible. He reads the Bible. The people hear the scripture. They weep. They confess their sins, and they turn back to God. And I'm prayerful that that's what we're seeing in Kentucky. The Bible needs to be read. It's the Bible, through the reading of the Bible, the study of the Word of God, that brings about confidence in God and a submission and surrender to Him. And so it's my prayer that we're seeing the same time we're watching, and I think it's unique, same time we're watching the globe on fire, if you will, in relationship to wars and rumors of wars and the earthquakes that are taking place and the diseases and the spread of those pestilences named diseases. As we see that happening, we see simultaneously then the potential of what we can look back and call the spark of revival taking place. It is my prayer that this will be real in the hearts and the lives of those young people, that they would turn. We need the younger generation in America today to turn back to God, to be revived, to have a heart for God, to study the Word, and to honor Him in submission and surrender to His Lordship. That's needed today more than anything in America. America needs revival today. We need to turn back to God. So, Tom, I'm thankful for your input. You're exactly right. We're watching so many things taking place simultaneously with the Word of God literally leaping off the pages of the news today as we see what God is doing. And it is, I get excited about seeing what God is doing and the realization, the recognition that God's word said it, that settles it. It's going to take place whether we like it or understand it or not. So we need to keep praying, keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh, Luke 21:28 tells us. Tom, thank you so much for your call. God bless you today. I believe we have Pastor Davis on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. Welcome back.
I'm delighted to be back. Thank you for sitting in and hosting for me yesterday.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And again, we did the best we could. Eyesight started acting up on me yesterday, but thank God. I probably think I might have gotten that kind of straightened out a little bit this morning. So thank God for all of that. But yes, Brother Tom called me on yesterday, and he asked something down that specific line of the U.S. Headed towards a war. And Dr. Youngblood, I always thought that ever since we first got involved with the Ukraine, how much of this would lead, you know, to that direction. But what we need to know and understand as Christians, God is still in control. And this particular thing, I believe, is going to keep on happening until it results, or the end result, can I say, will probably be the Battle of Armageddon, according to God's plan. So, yes, of course, we're probably eventually going to, you know, be in a war that we should not be in, but still yet God is in control. So what we have to do is trust and believe in God that he's going to bless us and to see us through this thing. As far as the revival is concerned, or what you just got finished speaking about, I think the church should be the one to lead the people into revival. Because when we look at 2 Chronicles 7:14, God said, if my people, he wasn't talking about to the unsaved, he said, my people. And I believe we could, you know, kind of relate that to the church on today. But he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. So, yes, we as the born-again, blood-washed, you know, born-again people of God on today, we need to lead this world in revival. And then I think God will step in and he will take control after that, and the whole world will end up being blessed. So I thank God for that on today.
Amen. Well, Brother Davis, thank you so much for your input. You're exactly right. And I'm about to read an elongated but yet very biblical answer to the question, what is Christian revival? Thank you so much for your call, and God bless you today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question, what is revival? I'm looking at an article that is the summary result of biblical research on the question of what is Christian revival. It's about three paragraphs, so bear with me. I'd love for you to hear it, because I believe it answers the question of what's happening in Asbury College in Kentucky. Revival, this article says, revival refers to a spiritual reawakening from a state of dormancy or stagnation in the life of a believer. It encompasses the resurfacing of God's love and the love of God for man, an appreciation of God's holiness, a passion for God's word, and a passion for God's church, a convicting awareness of personal and corporate sin, a spirit of humility, and a desire for repentance and growth in righteousness. Revival invigorates and sometimes deepens a believer's faith, opening his or her eyes to the truth in a fresh new way. It generally involves the connotation of a fresh start with a clean slate, making a new beginning of a life lived in thorough obedience to God. Revival breaks the charm and power of the world, which blinds the eyes of man and generates both the will and power to live in the world, but not of the world. And it goes on to talk about some of the early revivals, and I'll just read this. It's a good illustration. The first revival, so-called the First Great Awakening, produced an upsurge of devotion among Protestants in the 1730s and 40s. carving a permanent mark on American religion. It resulted from authoritative preaching that deeply moved the church members with a convicting awareness of personal guilt for sin and the awesome nature of salvation through Christ Jesus, breaking away from a dry ritual and rote ceremony. The Great Awakening made Christianity intensely personal to the average person, as it should, by creating a deep emotional need for a relationship with Christ. Further, it states, God, through the Holy Spirit, calls us to revival in a number of situations. Christ's letter to the seven churches revealed some circumstances that may necessitate revival. And you study the seven churches in the book of the Revelation, that is Revelation chapter 2 and 3. It talks about they had left their first love, they had grown cold and not hot for Jesus. And may I say to you, there is a need for revival, because that's the state that the church is in today. This article goes further. We're talking about what is Christian revival. Many times, as the excitement of acceptance to Christ grows cold, we lose the zeal that we first had. We become bogged down in ritual, going through the motions, but we no longer experience the real joy of serving Christ. Revival helps restore that first love and passion for Jesus Christ. In Revelation 2, verse 10 and 11, refers to the church at Smyrna, which was suffering intense persecution. The cares and worries of life can beat us down, leave us emotionally and physically and spiritually exhausted. Revival can lift us up and provide renewed hope and faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So I say again, I pray that that's truly what's happening in Kentucky at the Asbury College. This article says further, revival in many respects replicates the believer's experience when he first got saved. It is initiated by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, creating an awareness of something missing or something wrong in the believer's life that can only be righted or made right by God. In turn, the Christian must respond from the heart, acknowledging his or her need. Then, in a powerful way, the Holy Spirit draws back the veil that the world has cast over the truth, allowing the believers to fully see themselves in comparison to God's majesty, God's holiness, God's righteousness. And ladies and gentlemen, that's a good study of that in Isaiah the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 1. When I saw the Lord high and lifted up, Isaiah said, woe is me, I am unclean, I am a sinner, if you want to basically simplify it for today's language. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, revival is seeing ourselves in a sinful state. Revival is to see our hearts and lives that's grown cold and away from Jesus Christ, and being revived again, drawing near to him, wanting to study his word, wanting to witness for him, wanting to be involved in the work of the New Testament church, and surrendering our lives afresh and anew. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't definitively say that this that's taking place in Kentucky, on the campus of Asbury College, we can't definitively say this is revival, nor can we definitively say this is not revival. The end result of what we see taking place is the only thing that we can look back at and say that was real revival. In fact, in Acts chapter 5, verse 38 and 39, where there's a debate in relationship to what the disciples are doing, preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the hierarchy of society of that day wanted to quell it, to stop it, to make it cease and desist. Acts 5:38-39 says, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even fighting against God. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to be very, very careful of making a definitive statement of what is taking place in Kentucky. May I suggest that we rejoice in the Lord, that these young people are seeking the Lord. They're anxious to know him and to know him better. They're willing to bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that it's not for show and shine. I pray that it's not for publicity or for renown, but for a desire to really know Jesus Christ and be drawn closer to God through him. revival is best evidenced by after the fact, not before the fact. It is called evidence of revival, a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God upon the believers and engaged in and evidenced by a changed life. A changed life is evidenced by three or four things. Let me just touch on those. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917. If you'd like to jump in these last few minutes of the broadcast, your position, do we see revival taking place in Kentucky at Asbury College? Do we see something that's emotional? Do we see something that is renewal? Is this something that can be called revival or just renewal? What do we call it? Is it real revival? Revival is evidenced by two or three or four things. Number one, a hunger to study the Word of God. If this is revival, those students that are being revived will have a hunger to know God better, and the way we know God is through the study of God's Word. Secondly, there will be a hunger to serve the Lord. You show me a person that says, I've experienced revival, but they're not interested in the study of the Word. You show me a person that said, I've experienced revival, but they're not interested in being attached to and a part of a local New Testament church where they can serve the Lord through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scripture admonishes us to be very, very careful not to abandon the worship, congregational worship, and serving the Lord in a congregational fashion. Ladies and gentlemen, evidence of revival, a hunger for the Word. Evidence of revival, a hunger to serve the Lord through the local New Testament church. And thirdly, real revival is evidenced by deeper prayer life and obedience to the Word of God. You study the Word. You want to be obedient. You submit and surrender your life under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's evidence of revival, a changed heart, a changed life, a changed mind, a changed direction. Revival means forsaking the old ways, forsaking the old habits, forsaking the old lifestyle, and living that new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Real revival is evidenced by a confession of sin and a repentance of sin. Confession of sin and repentance of sin. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the evidence of real revival according to what I see in the study of the Word. In fact, I'm looking at an article that says this. The evidence of real revival, a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon believers, is his changed life, great movements toward righteousness, evangelism, outreach to others. Believers are once again spending time in prayer, once again reading the Scripture, once again obeying what God's Word says. Once again, believers begin to be powerfully used by the Holy Spirit of God through their confession of sin and repentance, end quote. And to go back to what I said earlier in the broadcast, when you study the book of Nehemiah chapter 9, 10, and 11 in particular, you find that after Ezra has found the book of the law, it's called, we're talking about the Bible as we'd call it, the Old Testament law, but when the book is found, Ezra reads it aloud. He stands up on a wooden platform so that the people can see and hear. Many in that congregation, that group that listened to Ezra, the book of Nehemiah chapter 9, 10, 11 in particular, talking about revival, that many of those had never heard the Word of God. They had never read the Word of God. They had never seen the Word of God. And when they heard the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God broke their hearts for their sin personally, for their sin nationally. And as a result of that, there was confessing of sin. There was weeping over the sin and a turning back to God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's the best evidence that I can find to illustrate real revival. Real revival is recognizing I've sinned, and there is a confession of sin, a turning back to God, and a submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That is evidence of revival. So it's my prayer that this that we see taking place with the young people in Kentucky at that university, that college, I pray that we see them go back to their homes. And as they go back to their homes, or even while they're still on campus, they find a local New Testament church that they can be a part of. They plug into the work of the church there. They follow the leadership of the pastor. They study the Word of God. They allow the Word of God to direct their lives and their footsteps. They take the position that I'm going to confess sin daily. I'm going to recognize my sin. I'm going to confess my sin. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit of God to empower me to live a life in the world, but not of the world. That is evidence of real revival. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, the evidences can only be determined after what is called revival. It's after the singing, after the weeping, after the praying, after the waiting on God. I say, let's pray that this is revival. Let's pray that it is starting in the college there in Kentucky. Let's pray that it is serious and that this will be a time of the young people there in that college repenting of sin and turning back to the Lord with full surrender, full submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ through the study of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. That's my prayer. I pray that you are looking to the Lord and asking Him to revive your own heart. I'm looking at an article talking about Tucker Carlson speaking on the subject and talking about this thing called revival. It says, Asbury Revival, amazing. People turning to spiritual life to counter the evil in this world. Fox News host Tucker Carlson described the nonstop Christian meeting that has been taking place at an Asbury University in Wilmore, Kentucky, as amazing on his Wednesday program, adding it is a much-needed counterweight to all the evil that's taking place in the world. That's well stated. It is a well-stated recognition of what we pray is taking place. Carlson interviewed the student body president of the university and gave her firsthand account. He began the segment by arguing, it's getting harder and harder to not categorize all that is happening in the world in the theological terms like good and evil. And a lot of things there are just evil. And the good news is that a lot of people are starting to think about what happens when you die, and they're becoming much more interested in spiritual life, which has been basically extinguished in the public square for a long time, Carlson says. And so, ladies and gentlemen, this is the counterbalance to that. And so, again, I say, I pray that it is a real start of revival in America. And the only way revival happens is it has to start individually and then spread collectively. And so my prayer is today, as you're listening to this broadcast, you'll say, Lord, I want revival, and I'm willing to submit and surrender my life personally, confessing my sins, repenting of my sins, and asking you, Lord Jesus, to revive my heart. Revival then takes place. If revival has taken place in your heart and life, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to want to get back to the Word. You're going to want to study the Word. You're going to want to be in a local New Testament church where the Word is proclaimed verse by verse and chapter by chapter. You're going to want to be in a New Testament church where you can plug in and be a part of the teaching of the Word, the spreading of the Word, and the witnessing, the soul winning for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ through His local New Testament church. Yes. I'm praying that that is real revival. My prayer is that it is authentic. My prayer is that these young people will then, after repenting of sin, confessing sin, turning back to God, that they will be able to set their communities, their homes, and their families on fire with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's my prayer as we think on the subject, what is revival? I pray that you will consider that today. And if you've never made a decision for Christ as Savior, perhaps this is the spark that you need in your life to say yes to Jesus Christ and follow Him. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.